Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, and we're going to bring you our opinion and on politics, on the economy. Mm-hmm. And it is Friday, October 2nd, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. It's like you're in a good mood today.
I am.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
It's been a beautiful day.
Now, I have to ask you a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't I sound like I'm in a good mood every day?
Extra today. Just extra today.
You're getting out of that one, aren't you?
Just like a little canary singing on the perch.
Yeah. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. It's a beautiful day. I went to the gym today and worked out. I do that 3 times a week, and I think I'm in good shape for the shape I'm in, so I'm doing all right.
All righty. Well, today we had a little bit of a pullback in gold, but not bad. We're still above 1900 in New York spot price after market. Down $4 at 1903. Silver was down 8 pennies at 2381. Platinum was down $21 at 880. Palladium was down $12 at 2,363. The USDX today was up 0.12 at 93.84. Crude oil was down 1.66 at 37.06. You know, I've been up since about 3 o'clock. I woke up, couldn't get back to sleep. I made the mistake of turning on the news, and there was the news about President Trump. So I didn't get back to sleep, but the markets were down considerably, and they reversed themselves somewhat during the day, and then they begin to fall once again here later in the afternoon. So the Dow today is down 133 points at 27,683. The NASDAQ was down 251 points, 11,075. The S&P was down 32 at 3,348. Well, we got the 10-year yield. That popped to 0.70 on the yield, up 0.02. And let's see, anything, 1907 in the futures contract for gold. So that's still above... you know, that's a December contract for gold. And so instead of negative territory, it was positive. So, Butch, the news of the day.
Yes, absolutely news of the day. It looks like Trump and his mate have COVID. And I understand that's why the market dropped 400 points, because they found the news that he had COVID-19, him and his wife, that the markets actually dropped. They're self-quarantining, I guess, in the White House. They say they feel great. Nothing's going to change. So I don't know. I don't trust these tests. According to their own, some of their own doctors' records, the tests are 90% wrong. Now, that's what they've said themselves. 90% of them test false positive. 90%. But let's just say it's 50%. Okay, but let's say it does have it. That did affect the markets, and I was kind of surprised at that. You know, I got to make this comment, too. Listen to another program today from a gentleman who was a Trumpeteer, is what I call him. And he was bragging about how Trump had brought the record growth this country financially, economically, and how the markets are at record highs under Trump. And I got thinking, didn't he know that that doesn't mean anything? The market does not really anywhere near demonstrate what the real economy is like. But he also then went on to say that he's already pulling us back out of the swamp, so to speak, back out of the mire because of COVID. And everything's looking good because of Trump. Now, I'm not picking on Trump. I don't like Biden. I'm not voting for either one of them, to tell you the truth. But nonetheless, I just wonder, these people are supposed to be intelligent and understand about finances. If they can't see that the market has really nothing to do with what's happening in the real world, I wonder the rest of their opinions, I question. Nonetheless, Trump tested positive, and the market dropped 400 points. And on top of that, New York Times uses Trump's COVID-19 to speculate about taking him off the ballot. I'm not making this Fox News. New York Times was slammed on Friday for suggesting that President Trump might not be able to remain on the ballot following his positive coronavirus test. Where did that come from, LD?
I see it a little bit different. You know, I mean, the timing of this, I mean, oh, there's all kinds of thoughts and conspiracy theories out there already
floating around, stories.
And everything. I just want to go back to the testing. Now, I didn't hear about the 90%, but there was a doctor, a respectable doctor on, I don't know if it was on Fox or one of them, where they did say that the it was a 30 to 50%
false positive.
Error, false positive. My question to that is that the best we are?
Yeah.
Is that as good as we get for the President of the United States?
For anybody.
Is that the only test we have? And everybody expects us to now accept the vaccine just like that? Are you nuts? If they can't even provide a more accurate test, I mean, are you kidding me? Is this the best we got?
I agree.
So
some of the results on what the vaccines are already tested, it says making people sick almost immediately. So yeah, there you go.
But this is just the test, and they've had almost a year, to improve on it. And this is the President of the United States.
Yep.
And I know there's various tests out there, and some are better than others. But the ones that I was told that was actually, you know, in the White House for the president is the one that has that false positives 30 to 50%. So, anyway, it's just like puzzles. Just I scratch my head.
But the New York Times will come out and say he may have to take his name off the ballot. Why would he even mention that? What? Who would consider doing that? I mean, what brought the point up that he should get off the ballot because he's tested for COVID? What does that have to do with anything at all with the race?
I can see them postponing it. I can see that coming from the White House directly. Because this is going to take 2 weeks out of the campaign.
That's true. Never thought about that. But yep. do you think they could do that? That would take an act of Congress, basically.
I think the president can do that if there. I don't know if there's a state of emergency, but I mean, and if you know, it's just 2 weeks for the quarantine. If he's sick, it's going to take us to the election.
But would this be considered a state of emergency? I don't think unless he has an uprising or some kind of war, can he really do that without Congress acting on them? See, I don't know that. I'm just a question I'm asking. But
this is D.C.
Yeah, that's true.
Have they followed anything in the Constitution since
What would the other side say?
Pardon?
What would the other side say?
Doesn't matter what the other side say if it's a possibility. I would think that the other side would say, you know, they don't want to take the election, you know, from a president that's sick. I don't know. This is that thought is just popping into my, you know, I didn't think all day about it, but I'm just saying, you know, the quarantine is 2 weeks. But if he's and these are big ifs, if he's sicker than 2 weeks, that does take us closer to the election. Can they stop the election because of?
Good question.
President being ill, and I think
they can.
That's a
good question. It's a month from tomorrow, so we don't have a lot of time to decide that, do we?
No. Nope. So that's and considering all the upheaval we have about this election. I don't know. The timing is weird, and you know what? Something else was interesting. I don't know if I have this in front of me, but I thought what an interesting. Let me see if I can find it here.
We look it up. I'll make a statement that
because
I went to town today, and a lot more, excuse me, campaign signs up along the road. And I did see a couple for our Democratic candidate here for governor in the state, but I still have not seen one Biden sign, even mixing with the Democratic signs. I don't know if that's on purpose or nobody's going to even consider voting for him. I have no idea. I know that a poll that today I read it, and I forget the poll, I should have made a copy, but I didn't, has always been right in predicting the president. This poll supposedly has never made a mistake yet, and they say Trump's going to get it. But nonetheless, with all the signs I've seen, we have Governor Justice, Republican, running again for office, and a guy named Salingo, Democratic side, running for office. I've seen Salingo signs up. I've seen other Democratic candidates' names up running for different offices in the state, but not one Biden sign. Now, that does seem unusual. It really does. Not one. Something just doesn't seem right. I mean, is he really this? I mean, many of the polls say he's going to lead him at 70 to whatever percent. Somebody must be making up a lot of polls because nobody in this area has even mentioned his name. So that's really strange.
But you know what's interesting too is because this nation is so divided that there's a lot of folks out there who don't want to say that they're voting for Trump, and there's a lot of people out there who don't want to say they're voting for Biden. I don't, maybe not as many, but, you know, maybe they're, you know, Republican. I don't know. I'm just coming up with people don't want to know who they're, people don't want other people to know who they're voting for.
Well, I've seen, I've seen several Trump signs.
Yeah, I know.
You know, as just, and the reason I mentioned you, even before we got on the air, Dad, I said you mentioned some time back that you thought maybe Trump may be even trying to throw the election. And, you know, and yeah, I kind of thought about that, and I thought, well, I don't know. But anyway, what he said today or yesterday really made me think maybe he doesn't really care about being elected. Trump said, I condemn all white supremacists. And President Trump on Thursday condemned white supremacists, attempting to put to rest an issue that has dogged him since the first presidential debate earlier this week when he told a far-right group to stand by. I've said it many times. Let me be clear again. I condemn the Ku Klux Klan. I condemn all white supremacists. I condemn the Proud Boys. Now, this is what really made me think about this. I don't know much about the Proud Boys, almost nothing, but I condemn them. What? Why would he say that? I know nothing about them, but I know very little about them, but I condemn them. And the next article is Black Proud Boys leader. We're not white supremacists, as you can see. The national leader of Proud Boys, this is the national leader of the Proud Boys, a black Hispanic American, said Wednesday that Joe Biden made a mistake during a presidential candidate debate by casting his group as white supremacist. We've been called many names, said Uren Krug-Terrio in an interview with Britain Sky News, and probably the most inaccurate name you can call us is white supremacist, as you viewers can see. So, both Biden was wrong, stupid statement. But why would Trump, he mentioned him in the debate, why would he say, well, I don't know much about him, but I condemn him anyway? There's something wrong with that statement, Bill. This doesn't fit. I don't know much about the Proud Boys, almost nothing, but I condemn it. I condemn them.
Well, he knows a little bit more. I mean, there's all kinds of pictures you can find with his son, you know, one of his sons, Eric, you know, with, you know, pictures and so forth and whatnot, so I don't know. I mean, he does that before. He said the same thing about David Duke. He says the same, you know.
Does he mean to? Does he know what he's saying?
I don't know.
It makes me wonder. I don't think the man's stupid, but he's contradicting himself here back and forth.
And, you know, in defense of Trump, I mean, there was how long was the debate?
An hour and a half.
All right. And the only thing that came out of that debate was because Trump said stand by. I mean,
are you
kidding me? What went on for the other, you know? So, I mean, it's like really. So it's just something that they're focusing on, and it's a distraction on just how poor that debate went. Again, no issues from both sides, and you know it was a. You know, for whatever reason, it is what it is. But so I just look at it as another distraction. Let's get distracted. But what I wanted to talk about was when President Trump made the announcement I think he had told Sean Hannity that they were tested last night on his program, but they didn't have the results. But when he made the statement, I think he made it at the same time there was the flight of two Boeing E-6B Mercury aircrafts on the U.S. coast, around the time that the president's positive test was announced. And they're saying it was a coincidence. I'm one that I don't believe in coincidences. Maybe, but I don't believe in coincidences. Now, these flight of the two Boeing E-6B Mercury aircrafts are responsible for maintaining communications and command and control of the nation's nuclear weapons. And they said with regard to the reports about these E-6B aircraft on alert status, U.S. Stratcom has confirmed that they were just part of a pre-planned mission. Any timing to the president's announcement was purely coincidental. I'm sorry, but anything that comes out, yes, I know President Trump likes to tweet, and I just don't believe it was coincidental. Now, maybe this is something that they do, you know, when the president has, not this president, but all presidents, makes this type of a statement. Maybe they just go into this certain, you know, special alert or whatever you might want to call it. I don't know. I just found that interesting. Does it mean anything? No, I just think it's interesting. This aircraft is sometimes called the Doomsday plane because it would keep the command and control of the country's nuclear forces intact in the event of a nuclear war that destroyed facilities on the ground. Hoffman said Esper was confident the President and First Lady Melania Trump would receive the best medical care from the U.S. military doctors. So, I don't know. Just interesting.
It is interesting. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I'm like you, I don't believe in coincidences. Maybe it was, but...
for something like this.
No, I can't... I don't trust anyone in that area of D.C. or anything to do with D.C. for good morning, the day of truth. I don't. I have to check and see, make sure they're not lying to me. So this doesn't make sense either.
No, it doesn't. I mean, his announcement coincided with a pre-planned mission? No, I don't think so. But anyway.
Well, moving on to some financial news. Small firm bust accelerates as bankruptcies soar in September. I might ask this question. Did the jobs report come out today?
It did. We can talk about that.
Yeah, okay. We'll get there after break in. But this article about small businesses, bankruptcy accelerating, that's kind of serious. We'll get that. Okay, go to break.
All righty, stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. It's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. And it looked like the jobs report this morning showed fewer hires as recovery lose momentum. I'm not happy about that, ladies and gentlemen. The non-farm payrolls rose by 661,000 in September. They were estimating about 800,000, which is just amazing that they get the unemployment rate all the way down to 7.9%. And so it was lower than expected. The payrolls miss was due largely to a drop in government hiring as that homeschooling continued and census jobs fell. Really? That's the best that they can come up with. The issue is momentum, and I think we're losing, said Drew Mattis, chief market strategist for MetLife Investment Management. When you go through a significant disruption to the labor market, it takes time to fix itself. Yes, it does. That's without regard to whether there's a virus. The decline in the unemployment rate came along with a 0.3 percentage point drop in the labor force participation to 61.4%, and that's representing a decline of nearly 700,000. So, a separate, more encompassing measure that counts discouraged workers and those working part-time for economic reasons also saw a notable decline, falling from 14.2% to 12.8%. The unemployment decline for blacks was even sharper than the headline rate. The Asian rate declined. Leisure and hospitality led job gains with 318,000, while retail added 142,000. Healthcare, social assistance increased by 108. And, of course, government was the biggest drag on the month, losing 216,000 jobs due to a drop in local and state government. So, there you go, folks.
There you go. Yep. Well, you know, I wonder if they can lose 218,000 jobs and still function, why were they in the first place? Yeah. I mean, were they needed? Just a question, folks. It's called a bureaucracy. Were they needed? You know, I'll get on this other article, man, but we were down in Charleston, our state capital, three weeks ago. We were down at the Capitol itself in the front part of it. They have a Liberty Bell replica hanging there. We was there, and I was looking around at the huge, huge buildings right on the campus there where the Capitol is. And they have other buildings downtown, big buildings with different offices in them. Don't know how many thousand work at these offices, but we get about 1.5 million people in the whole state. Do we need that many bureaucrats running this state? I mean, on top of the politicians that we pay, all the bureaucrats it takes to run this little tiny state of 1.5 million people. I had to question that fact. I mean, we are spending lots of money for hired help that I don't think we really need a lot more all this much of. Matter of fact, a couple of years ago, they found, I don't know how many hundreds of cars they had in inventory. They didn't know they had, Melody. Now, how many cars have you misplaced over your lifetime? So,
not
anyway. So, I mean, it's just questions come to my mind. How do you do that? How do you lose hundreds of cars? How do you do? How would you lose 10? But anyway, let's move on. But small firm bust accelerates. The bankruptcies soar in September. Policies promoted by the White House and the Federal Reserve to support small firms have been so widely insufficient as bankruptcy filings are back to levels not seen since the dark days of the virus pandemic, according to Bloomberg. Citing a new report via bankruptcy court data from EPIG-ACER, at least 620 companies filed for Chapter 11 protection in the first 25 days of September, a 48% increase of the same period last year. Bankruptcy filings in June and July saw 609 and 644 respectively. Chris Cruz said that Vice President at EQUIT said we're seeing a continued strong flow of Chapter 11 filings in September, consistent with what we saw in June and July, and that they range from businesses with small footprints to high street retailers. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell has admitted the Fed's lending program for small businesses has been challenging. Now, we read that, and it's figures to us. You know, 620 in September, 609 in June, and 644 in July. So we're talking about 2,000 or so businesses here that filed for Chapter 11 in the last few months. Melly, that's a lot of jobs, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So I don't know what to even say to that, except if I were working in one of these companies, I would probably be a little bit concerned knowing that my job was going to probably be forever. You know, I mean, maybe not. Maybe someone come back. But if they do come back, it's not going to happen next month or December or January. It's going to take, I would think, months if not years to get anything back to anywhere near normal. What do you think on that?
Well, I agree. I mean, we're not getting the total numbers yet, and I don't think the total, I think, is going to be this, I mean, we really don't know what the toll is to the economy. As you said, we continue to talk about the businesses closing permanently. Where do people go for jobs? We talked yesterday about the manufacturing, how it's been a decline since 2018. We continue to see, and where do these people go to work? People have to work. We talked about 50% of retirees are going to live in poverty. They're losing their jobs. They're losing their pension plans. They're dipping into it to survive. It's like, how is this all going to be, how is this all going to affect this nation? We haven't seen anything yet.
But again, back on a more personal level, how's it affecting the gentleman that sat at the house tonight that can't pay bills and pay the house payment and buy groceries?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the nation, it's going to affect the nation, of course. But when it comes down to somebody sitting at home and can't afford his home any longer, that's even a harder hit. The nation may take a hit, but the man that's losing his home is the one that's really suffering right now. You know, so I don't know.
And something else, Butch. No one talks about the moratoriums that have been placed on landlords and so forth to evict folks. What's going to happen?
No.
What happens at the end of the year when that comes off? They're going to extend it longer, and then all of those people end up, all the business people who own these properties. What's going to happen to them? I mean, how many millions of people
too.
Will be homeless?
Mm-hmm. And how many of those people that own the properties may lose them anyway because they can't make the payments?
Yeah.
That's,
and the bank gets
it. Yes. So, these are things we don't think about. We feel sorry for the renters, and I'm not saying we shouldn't. But the guy that bought the property pays bills also.
Pays taxes?
Yeah, he does. And I know from, I have a couple of small rentals myself, and I know that all the things add up to taxes and insurances and upkeep on the properties. I mean, that isn't done, that's not free. And I do feel sorry for a renter that can't pay rent, but they're in business to make a profit. That's why they bought the place in the first place, right?
Correct.
So,
cash flow.
Huh?
For cash flow.
Cash flow, exactly. So it's not fair to the property owners because the government steps in and said, well, you don't pay your rent the next 4 or 5 or 6 months, whatever. That's not right. That's not only not right, it's unlawful. And they don't have authority to do that. No more than the governor has authority to shut down the state. But they did because the people follow along because, I guess, they're afraid. Afraid they might get sick or afraid that they might break the law and don't get in trouble. I don't know what the reason is, but they have no authority to do that. I just want that. And New York State Comptroller did an audit. Said up to 50% of New York City bars and restaurants could close permanently in the next 6 months. That is, again, a hard hit. In New York City, 50% of the bars and restaurants could close in New York City. It's the harsh reality. The coronavirus pandemic is doing a number on local economies. On Thursday, New York State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli released a new report that shows how many restaurants and bars in the city may never recover. On Victory Boulevard in the Castletown corner section of Staten Island, businesses struggle and close and the just released findings of the government audit indicate it will get worse between now and April. From furloughs and layoffs to businesses forever closed, government COVID-19 restrictions are choking the economy in New York, especially its bars and restaurants. An audit by the state comptroller spells out what was feared, that the financial outlook for many is bleak. It finds up to 50% of the Big Apple bars and restaurants could be closed permanently within the next 6 months. Now they face an unprecedented upheaval that may cause many more to close forever, than the police said. So, gosh, 50% of the restaurants and bars, I don't have any idea how many restaurants and bars are in New York, but it'll be half what they were here in the next few months. Again, the business owners are out, the employees out of work, so there you go. And I guess you could say, even add the insult to injury, Manhattan apartment sales tumbled 46%, leaving 10,000 units unsold. So New York's really getting hammered, Melody. Really getting hammered.
It really is. But so is every city in this nation.
Well,
same thing is going on.
But New York New York was the, I guess, kind of like a show place for the country, if you know what I mean, for a long time.
Yeah, well.
So, it says factors like high unemployment, rising crime, and growing sanitation and public transit problems make buyers reluctant but to make a big bet on Manhattan real estate. So, unemployment, rising crime, growing sanitation, public transit problems. The infrastructure is failing, Melody. Public transit and sanitation are public services.
Yes.
They're failing. As we've been saying, infrastructure is failing. So, like it or not, it's just what it is. Any comments on that?
No, I mean, it's something that we, you know, it's just another sign. It's just another symptom of, you know, what is really occurring underneath everything and how we got here. So, you know, yesterday, Goldman Sachs came out and said that they're going to be buying GM's credit card unit for $2.5 billion. This was reported, October 1st by the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Bank won the bidding for the deal over Barclays, the GM's credit card issuer, Capital One, Finance Corp, and Goldman have agreed upon the purchase price. They expect to finalize the deal in coming weeks, and of course this is going to enhance Goldman's focus on its consumer banking business, and which it is expanding to even out volatile results from segments such as trading and investment banking. Goldman currently has a much smaller presence in consumer banking, unlike larger peers, of course, like J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and so it's the bank's second major credit card partnership following the launch of a card with Apple last year. So, and of course, this comes at a time when you have U.S. households are sort of cutting back on debt in response to COVID, although many of them are using their credit cards to get by. So maybe they're not as, it's more of a need basis, perhaps, that they're using their credit cards for. But that's kind of interesting.
It is. It is.
Goldman Sachs wants to get into your pockets in another way.
Mm-hmm. Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. And poor old New York, here we go again. New York downgraded as Moody's warns of long return to normal. The poor city and state ratings were cut one notch to from AA2 to AA1. Downgrade yep. impacts $38.7 billion New York City's general obligation debt, almost $40 billion. New York City and state both had their credit ratings lowered, Thursday by Moody's Investor Service, which said the impact from the coronavirus on the most populous U.S. city, the core of the state's economic engine, is among the most severe in the nation. I mean, talk about getting smacked. And I promise you that Cuomo and de Blasio have a lot to do with this, with their police state tactics to make this state shut down. I mean, that has a lot to do with it. I mean, no doubt about it. Nonetheless, the city and state are being downgraded on their credit. That's hardly ever a good sign when the cities and the states are downgraded. That's usually something. Illinois has been downgraded before, so that's not always a good sign at all. So, any comments on that, Melody? I just feel kind of sorry for the folks that live there. I don't know what that's going to mean for the people, but when the whole state is downgraded because it can't pay its bills, it's not looking good.
No, well, they know what they can do at the next election. They continue to vote these people in. So, you know, again, this is, you know, we've been, you know, New York's had bad days before, but I think this time's a little different.
Oh, yes. Big time difference. The difference is they haven't turned loose yet. They're still cutting back on businesses. Talk about cutting back some more. If you starve the businesses out, they can't produce. If they can't produce, they can't pay taxes. They can't pay taxes. Cities can't pay the bills. Now, to me, that's pretty much common sense. So you start about the hand that's feeding you, you're going to go hungry, aren't you?
You are.
I don't know, Melly. But this is common sense. If Butch Paul can figure it out, a chipmunk can figure it out. Why can't de Blasio figure it out? Or Cuomo figure that out? You can't lock down a society and expect it to be normal. You go ahead and add your comments to that, and I'll be quiet a second. I don't mean to take over your program, but I get a little hyper sometimes thinking about these things because there's such common sense decisions here. And all the evidence out there that's come from CDC and WHO who say this virus is not what they say it is. And you said yourself that at least 35-40% of the tests are ineffective and inaccurate. Other places say 90%. Why are you shutting down the whole country over something that's a lie? It's a big lie. Why are we letting this happen? And don't, you can blame the president if you want to, or the governors or the cities, but it's not their fault. It's our fault. And it's break time.
And it is. Thank you. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time. Tell me again. Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And you're kind of fired up on a Friday afternoon, Butch.
Well, I am, Melody. I really am. And I don't have the answers, all the answers. But I know you cannot shut down a world because of a virus that destroys millions and millions of jobs, put millions of people out in the streets, so to speak, no work, and no way to feed the families. They may even get sick anyway. If the virus is bad, say it is, they probably get sick anyway. But you don't quarantine a nation of healthy people and shut down the economy over a virus. And that just doesn't work that way. And unless they really want to destroy the economy of the world and this country we live in, and they're doing it. So that's just my little blow for the day. You can't do it that way and make things work. It just doesn't go that way. But there's some good news here today, maybe for the airlines. I guess you saw this. Big change here. Airline stock surge as Pelosi announced its imminent standalone relief package for the airlines. I guess you saw that, didn't you?
Yeah, I think they're getting, what, $20
billion? I don't see the amount here, but it says that the bill will be introduced right away, I guess even today perhaps, that an agreement is imminent on the government assistance, according to Bloomberg. So they said it could advance the airline bill today, so the airlines are not going to lay off, at least not today, or yesterday, I guess, supposed to be in. So we'll see what happens. But Pelosi announces this, you know, independently of the Senate. I know that this Congress makes the spending bills up, but can Congress do this without the Senate going along with it?
What?
If Congress cannot put this together and get approved without the Senate approving also, right?
Right. I think they sent one. I think thought they signed off on a $2.5 trillion one, and today. But that doesn't mean it's going to get passed by the Senate. I mean, Mnuchin and Pelosi has been working on trying to get a deal done. And I don't know, with President Trump's being positive, if that's going to help. I'm sure that'll help push it through, because, you know, they don't need that. Because I don't think anybody really knows how this is going to play out, how sick he's really going to get. So they'll probably push it through now, I would think.
Well, that's possible, but the airline part itself, that's a spatial bill on its own. That would have to go to the Senate.
But it's included in that. I think.
Oh, so there's all one bill then. There's not one by itself for the airlines.
I don't think so.
I thought there wasn't. It says it's announced on Friday that she will move for a standalone airline. It's a standalone airline relief package. This is be by itself.
But it's with the relief package, I think. I don't know how that works.
It says it's standalone.
Okay.
So I would assume by itself. Well, boy, wow, imagine that.
We sound like an old married couple, don't we?
But it says standalone, so I assumed that meant by itself. That's what I assumed. I've done it before and been
wrong,
usually
too. If it's standalone but it's attached to the bill, that means what's it mean? The bill, they can still change parts of the bill and so forth, but that won't be touched.
All right. Well, whatever. They're trying to help, and the airlines are excited about it, and the stocks went up because of that for the airlines. So I guess it's a brighter side. But again, another bailout with money that the government doesn't have that somebody's got to stand good for. So I don't know. Move on to something here that it concerned me. According to this poll, half America is prepping for civil war. Now, if that's true, if his poll's right, may be a good thing. That may stop anything from happening. When we'll say the other side realizes, hey, there people getting ready for us, we maybe ought not do that now. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. It says three of five Americans, the nation is on the verge of civil war, and more than half already are preparing for it, according to a new poll. And just to add something to that, first time gun buyers, people that before they didn't own a gun or didn't believe in owning guns, is up tremendously. But this is the single most frightening poll result I've ever been associated with. The pollster Rich Stahl told Paul Bedard in his Washington Streets Secrets column for the Washington Examiner. The poll by Ingatius Sports and Leisure Research Group and ROKK Solutions found 61% of the Americans believe the U.S. is nearing a second civil war. 41% strongly agree with that, and 52% are so convinced that it's just around the corner or after Election Day that they're putting away food and other essentials. Now, that is, I know that would be true. Right now, store food sales, it's getting hard to find them because they're sold out a lot. People are preparing for something. So, I don't know. And again, maybe if this is planned by any group, when they see the people are preparing for it, maybe they won't do it because they realize they don't have a chance of really winning and be a bloodbath. Maybe. I hope that's it. We'll see. What do you think, Melody?
You know, I don't know. I mean, there's so many polls and everything out there, and I don't believe 50% of the population is preparing for, you know, so forth. They might be preparing because they might think that, you know, something is coming our way, that perhaps even with the country shutting down again, that, you know, they might need to store some extra food and toilet paper and so forth. But I don't believe that half of the population thinks that there's no. I find that hard to believe. Not that I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I do know that in our area, mm-hmm. in West Virginia, in certain counties, I don't know all of them, there are groups getting together to form protection committees of their communities. Say you live in a community in here in Nicholas County, and you know that somebody's coming in to cause problems, the whole county will come together and meet those people on the road in and tell them they can't come in. That's been done right here in West Virginia right now. So I don't know how far it's going to go.
Well, there should always be neighborhood watches and so forth that, you know, people get together and, you know, perhaps, you know, look out for one another and so forth. But, I mean, I don't think people consider it a civil war.
Well,
there's rioters, and unruly people is a far cry from a civil war. So
unless some rioters hit in dozens of cities, then it really is kind of a civil war. I hope it doesn't go to that.
Yeah, I just don't I don't think that there isn't going to be social unrest across this nation. I certainly do believe that. But I think there's a difference between social unrest and civil war.
Well, the National Guard said it.
Maybe not.
The National Guard taps units for rapid response to civil unrest. So there you go with what you're saying. The National Guard has designated military police units in two states to serve as rapid reaction forces so they can respond quickly to any potential civil unrest around the country following violent protests that rocked the nation's capital in several states this summer. Military leaders don't explicitly tie the changes to concern about possible election-related violence, but the nation is bracing for unrest surrounding the tumultuous presidential campaign, particularly if voting results are not known for days or weeks because of the increase in mail-in ballots. According to the Guard, about 600 troops, 300 both in Alabama and Arizona, will be ready to deploy within 24 hours if requested by a governor in another state. And Guard leaders have also bought more than 200,000 new protective equipment, have increased troop training on proper procedures and dealing with protests. So there is preparation for the protest. You know, it'd be wonderful if that would just not happen. That would be this time in December, we're still here and everything is somewhat, no matter who wins, everything goes on something normal, but I don't know.
Well, the thing of it is, it's going to happen because people are saying it's going to happen. You know, I mean, people are gearing up. People are, you know, I think people are kind of excited about it to some degree. And
well,
I think
it's
sad. It's disgusting.
I mean, this isn't
something that we want. I mean, I, you know, I get there will come a point in time. I just don't believe now is the time, but anyway, let's move on to something else.
I hope you're right. Well, in case you're interested, there's a caravan coming out of Guatemala, or crosses the Guatemala border, that's coming into the United States, apparently, wanting to. Around 1,000 migrants began walking Wednesday from northern Honduras toward the Guatemala border, hoping to reach the United States for better living conditions as coronavirus paralyzed Central America's economy. Honey, it's the same thing here. But anyway, by Thursday, Al Jazeera reports a caravan of migrants had crossed the border from Honduras without proper documentation on the path to the U.S. Guatemalan authorities are reporting at least 1,000 people had crossed the border from Honduras late this week. The incident was caught on camera. Governors in Central America are aware of the caravan traversing the Guatemala-Honduras border. Mexico's Immigration Agency released a statement saying it would ensure safe, orderly, and legal migration is seen. It also said it would not support the caravan nor help promote its size. So they're coming here to escape the coronavirus problems in their country. Well, maybe we're better off than they are. I'm not saying we're not, but we're having the same thing here.
We have better health care.
Yeah, we pay for it. Yeah, really. I mean, and the ones I saw in the picture, by the way, I mean, you can look for yourself in the video. They didn't look very destitute to me. They were dressed pretty well, and they certainly weren't starving to death. So, could this be another move by, we'll say, somebody else to cause this to happen, as happened before, to bust them in? I don't know, folks. But look, watch the video for yourself. You determine whether people look like they're destitute. The children are well-dressed. The people are pretty well-dressed. And it looked like none of them were starving to death, so I don't know. Just my opinion on that. Anything you want to add to that, Melody?
It's kind of interesting that it's close to election time that all of a sudden now we have a caravan.
Yeah.
If they were concerned about the virus, they should have started it before. Now temperatures are beginning to drop. Well, it's a little cooler down there than what it is here. You know, it's warmer, but they're not going to get into the cold temperatures until they get, you know,
a little,
it's not as hot as what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I got
for them
you.
To travel.
Gotcha.
What?
You'll get it out. It's Friday. You're going to make it. It's Friday. You'll be all right.
I just don't know. I mean, you know, again, timing. I mean, it's just like, are you kidding me? Right before the election, you know, it basically helps both sides to some degree. I don't know.
Well,
it hurts and helps.
Yeah, it hurts a lot of people. It hurts our country even, because somebody's got to pay for all this. It does hurt our country.
Yes, it does.
Different country, different problems. Turkey ramps up its involvement in Armenian-Azerbaijani war. Azerbaijan has given Turkey control over the air segment of its military campaign to capture the Nagorno-Karabakh region, the American Armenian Defense Ministry reported on September 30th. According to Austrian, and that last name I ain't going to try, Turkish and Azerbaijani aviation is being coordinated by the E-7-T aircraft of the Turkish Air Force, which is an air command post. The military plane was spotted near the Turkish cities of Yuzurum and Kars. It is possible that the leadership of the Turkish Air Force is on board this plane. As an example of such actions, the Armenian side claimed the two Turkish F-16 fighters, that's one of our fighters, folks, F-16, and Azerbaijani's Su-25 attack aircraft, as well as a Turkish combat drone, Baykar, which took off from city of Kalamar, has inflicted a missile and bomb attack on Karabakh towns of Hadrut and Markakurt. So, looks like they're actually attacking cities in these areas. So, that's not good. I mean, this is going from a skirmish to bombing cities. That's not a good move. That's more pressure on a different valve in the country, in the world, that could erupt. And we know that Russia could get involved in this also. So this is not good. None of this is good. It's the whole world seems like it's a powder keg. And of course, that's prophesied in the Bible, Matthew 24, rumors of wars. It's happening right now. So we will see what happens to that. So Melody, what's your opinion on that?
You know, I don't have an opinion. I mean, it's fact that, you know, these areas are, there's a lot of turmoil around the world. And, I mean, we can go anywhere in the world and see all these issues that are, and eventually one is going to have an issue. I mean, there's a lot of things that aren't talked about. What about the bombings in Africa? What about, I mean, you name a place, and there's problems. So,
well, we're about out of time again. Look at this last article on. Hundreds of earthquakes continue to rattle Southern California. This is kind of unnerving, as you could say. Swarms of earthquakes continue to rattle the Salton Sea area in Southern California, with more than a dozen sizable quakes since midnight, the U.S. Geological Survey reported Thursday. Most tremors are below 3.0, but fewer quake registering over 4.5 magnitude have been recorded, the USGS reports. Agencies have recorded at least 240 quakes by Wednesday night, this past Wednesday. 240 quakes is a lot of earthquakes in one area.
Sure is.
You know, and they expect a big one to hit any time. That's what Ark will say, there could be a big one any time. But 240 and 4.5 is not huge. But it'll rattle some property. 240 quakes. That's just hard to imagine. So something is giving, and obviously in the Earth's crust, to the point that it can't continue the way for long, because it will have to explode sooner or later.
Yes. And we're out of time. I want to thank you, Butch, for joining me this week and sitting in for Dave Allen. Dave Allen should be back on Monday, but I do appreciate you taking the time to spend with us, me and the listeners. So there you go, folks. Thank you for joining us, and be safe, and take care, and God bless.